Thank you very much, sir. Great privilege again to be in your midst. I'd like to appreciate our Father in the Lord, Professor Salami, and the leadership of Cedar Generation Outreach for this special privilege of coming to share fellowship with you. Thank you, sir, for the good work that you are doing here. The Lord will continue to strengthen your hands in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Choir, thank you for that song. The Lord bless you. Instrumentalists, you are doing very, very well. Hallelujah. I like us to sing unto the Lord. Is it a good thing to sing? God has opened the heavens already, so don't worry, the heavens are opened. Amen. Amen. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And I know what was my soul. Persons here tonight, you are going on with a miracle. The Lord is touching somebody already. I don't know who that person is. I don't know what has been affecting your legs. In the ankle area, the Lord is healing that place now. In the name of Jesus. The power of God is coming upon that place, and the Lord is setting you free in that area right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lift your hand to heaven and wave it to Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you. Just go ahead and give him thanks for the beautiful things he's begun to do in our midst. Something. Issue in your back region, lay your hand there. Let me pray for you. Something has been bothering your back region, whether it's an accident, we don't know what it is. The Lord is healing you there right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority against that pain. I rebuke it now. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I demand that you be healed there. Be made whole from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I command that pain, that affliction to go in the name of Jesus. Be healed totally now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Wave your hands to the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Beautiful Lord, we give you praise. We celebrate you. We thank you. For you are wonderful. For you are glorious. And glory to you. You are the Lamb of God. Father, we're grateful to you. It's a beautiful thing to praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing to be in your presence. Thank you for your manifold grace that we have begun to enjoy. Thank you for the expression, the manifestation, the experience of your grace in every department of our lives. Thank you for grace in this house. Thank you for grace in this congregation. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Let our meeting be a meeting of grace. Let our experience be that of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's celebrate the Lord as we take our seat. Hallelujah. The theme of our convention is manifold grace. And you know that statement is from 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. Amen. And of course I know that there's been some exposition and expansion of that theme since Wednesday. I will just come to add to what has been done. Praise the Lord. And I want to trust that the Lord has something for you and me to take home. Something that will last us a lifetime. In Jesus' name. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. We will read from verse 3. Genesis 37. We will read from verse 3. If you are there, I'd like you to say amen. Amen. All right, let's read together. One, two, go. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Normally, when you are a carrier of grace, you will be hated, you will be envied. Amen. But one of the characteristics of those who carry grace is that they are dreamers. They are people who have dreams that are intimidating. They are people who tell you their vision for their life and you feel like shaking. There are people that when you hear their dreams and their visions for their life, you feel intimidated. So here was Joseph, who was loved by his father above all his brethren. He was the 11th child, but the father loved the 11th child more than every one of his children. Amen. And because of that, they hated him. Listen to me, until they begin to envy and hate you, you have not experienced grace. When grace begins to speak in your life, people will not like it. People will envy you. Some people are going to get angry with you. They would say, are you the only one? Why are things, working for you like this? Are you getting what I'm saying? So grace attracts envy. Grace attracts hatred. But the beautiful thing is that all the hatred and all the envies of this world cannot stop the progress of grace. And that's how I know that there is somebody here in the name of Jesus. Whether the devil like it or not, you will make it. I say you will make it. Whether people are angry with you or not, whether they hate you in your father's house, whether they are envious of you, whether they are attacking you, I know you will still make it. Despite the envy, despite the attacks, you are going to make it. You will succeed. You will achieve your dreams. You will actualize your vision in the name of Jesus. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. You see, the hatred didn't stop. They were hating him before. Now he has told them his dream, and they hated him the more for his dream. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and he said to them, here I pray you this dream, which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? They themselves understood the meaning of the dream. Amen. And look at verse 9. Wait a minute. Yes. And he said, shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his word. Now, in that part, you have seen three hatred now. They started with hatred. They hated him the more. They hated him the more again. Hatred, square three, to power three. Amen. So they hated him the more for his dream and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. Men of grace, people of grace are always dreaming. They don't stop. After one achievement, they dream of another achievement. They're talking about another conquest. They're talking about another vision. Amen. So he dreamed another dream yet more. And told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. You will be envied. I say you will be envied. It's a good prayer. You will be envied. It is better that you are the one that is being envied than you are the one that is envying others. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? When you carry grace, you will be envied. You will be hated. I mean, serious hatred, because you carry grace. Some of you here, you say some people don't like you. They don't want to see your face. Anything you say, you make people complain about you. Maybe there is something about you that is attracting that envy. Maybe there is a grace that is speaking already that is attracting that hatred. But you see, whether the hatred likes it or not, whether the envy likes it or not, you will still make it. The dream that you saw, that they hated you for, that dream will become a reality. What you saw and they are envious of you, that thing will become a reality. In fact, what they are seeing about your life and they are angry about, that same thing will blossom, it will manifest, it will become a big success in the name of Jesus. There are different ways people see your style of grace, either by you telling them or by some kind of esoteric discernment. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? In this particular case, Joseph was the one that opened his mouth and told them about what he saw about his own life. But in some other people's case, some people with trained eyes can see, this boy is going to be a star. There's a unique grace on this boy's life. This girl is going to be a star. There's a unique grace on these girls. And they begin to envy, they begin to hate, and they begin to attack. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'm talking to you about what I titled Spared. Say spared. Decorated. Say decorated. And lifted by grace. Spared, decorated, and lifted by grace. I say it again. Spared, decorated, and lifted by grace. First of all, let me try to give you a little definition of grace. Grace is being blessed with what you don't deserve or merit. Grace is being blessed with what you do not deserve or merit. But you see, you will not understand grace unless you follow the biblical order. In the Bible, before God brought grace, He first of all started with the law. And if you don't understand the law, you won't understand the power of grace. God dealt with the children of Israel under the law of Moses first, before Jesus came and brought grace. John 1:17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If you look at that statement, you will realize that the law is spoken as a contrast to grace. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So God started first with the law. When they had an experience and understood the law, it was not easy for them to understand what grace is. So what is the law? The law is about requirements. This is your O-level requirements before you can study this course. That's the law. Amen. The law is about expectation. That is, you are expected to meet this, to meet certain expectation, to be qualified for certain things. That's the law. The law is about qualifications. You must have ICAN, chartered accountant, before we can employ you for this position. The law is about protocol. This is the protocol you must go through before you can be blessed with this, because before you can be given this. That's what the law is about. The law is about due process. Due process. In other words, when you get to a place and you see a long queue, you go and stay at the back of the queue and wait for your turn. That's the law. Due process. Amen. The law is about merit. You are blessed according to your merits. Amen. I'm sure you know Buhari is not there by merit. That should teach you a little things about grace. The law is about merits. Amen. You are from Osun State. You scored 284 in JAMB. And then one Musa scored 205. And he's been admitted before you. Educationally disadvantaged state. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? But we are supposed to follow the law of merit. Musa should not even enter that university at all, because 205 is nowhere near 280 something. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? So the law is about merit. The law is about sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. It's about work and eat. It's about input equals output. That is the law. Praise the Lord. But how many of you know that those who are actually successful, those who are very visible in life, those that has attained celebrity status, if you go and check many of them, they don't have your academic qualification. Many of them don't even have your intelligence. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? If you, when you talk about qualification, you talk about merit, you talk about requirement, they don't have it. But somehow, they're up there. Amen. So God took Israel through an experience of the law before he brought grace, so that they can understand what grace is. Now let me try to describe grace. I told you that the law is about due process. When you get to the bank and you meet a long queue, and then you have to stay at the back of the queue, that is the due process, that is the law. Amen. But the bank manager walks in and sees you and says, "Hey, my friend, how are you? What are you doing here? What did you come to do in our bank?" "I just came to do some transactions." "Say, well, you don't have to stand on this queue. Come on, follow me." And he takes you to the head of the queue and tell the teller, "This guy is my friend, attend to him now." And the teller attends to you, and you left about 25 people that you met there on the queue and walked out after your transaction. That is grace. In grace, God suspends protocol. In grace, God collapses the ladder. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? When we talk about grace, we are talking about God making space for you where it was never there before. But to understand grace, we are looking at a Bible character, a man called Joseph. Joseph was the 11th child among his father's children, but by grace, he was supposed to be number one. And his dreams showed the grace upon his life. The first dream indicated dominion. The second dream indicated dominion. And all those that he related the dream to, they knew what it meant. That this little boy, this little rat, second to the last born, we now have dominion over us. That is grace. God did not follow the biological order. Amen? God did not say, "Well, this is the firstborn." No, God doesn't work like that. God works by what? By grace. There are quite a number of you here. You are here just because of grace. Grace has brought you this far, and grace will still take you far. But let me try to concentrate on the guy Joseph. So after he had told them his dream, they hated him. They did not only hate him and envy him, they began to plan for his downfall. And then one day the father sent him to the field to go and give them some victuals, and he went about looking for them and then found his brother somewhere while they were tending to the sheep. And then while he was coming from afar, they said, "Now here comes the dreamer. Now let's see what we're going to do to him. Let's see how we can finish him up, and we'll see what will become of that his dream." Amen. And then they plotted together, "We're going to kill him and tell our father a wild animal ate him up." That was the plan. Amen. They actually wanted to kill him. So while they were about to hatch that plan, they actually grabbed him and threw him into a pit where there was no water. It's a matter of time. In the desert, the heat and dehydration would take its toll on him, and he would expire inside that pit. And they've already taken his coat of many colors, they've shredded it, and they've mixed it with the blood of an animal. We're going to tell daddy a wild animal killed him. That was the plot. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, one of his brother, was it Reuben, came from nowhere and rescued him from their hand. They said, "Brethren, don't let's kill our brother. That is grace at work." It was not as if Reuben had a special likeness. They all hated him. But Reuben, being in the position of eldership, told them, "Don't let us kill him. We can make some money. Why don't you just sell him off and make some money out of him? We know he will perish in slavery. If you kill him, he will still die. Nothing will come out of his dreams." And they did that. They thought they were being smart, but that was grace. Grace spared him from the hand of his enemies. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? So when a man carries grace, grace has a way of sparing you. Grace has a way of protecting you. Grace has a way of shielding you. They use witchcraft against you, it does not work. They use arrows against you, it does not work. After a while, when they are tired, they say your head is too strong. That is grace at work. Say grace. Great grace. Say grace. Say great grace. Fight on my behalf. Let the grace of God, the amazing grace of God, let it arise on my behalf. Let it defend my cause. Let it go ahead of me. Let it fight my battle. Let the grace of God spare me from the attacks of life. Grace spares people. I can tell you the number of times I should have been dead, Pastor. Number of times I should have been dead. I attended Baptist Academy Shepherd in Lagos. And I was, my parents were living in K2. You know the distance between K2 and Obanikoro. And then early in the morning when we were going to school, we will hang like this on Molue. This is how we used to hang. You know the Molues of those days. They will be so loaded, and then on this side you will hang, the bus will bend like this. That's how we used to hang. And then I can't remember how many times, several times we will hang like that, and we are about to pass through a trailer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Beside the trailer, and it's so close, and in the nick of time, I will see up coming close to a trailer, and I will duck my head. It was not as if I was smart. Grace was sparing me. There are many of you here that should have finished you a long time ago. You should have been buried and forgotten, but you are here. Grace spared your life. Listen to me. The reason why you are here is because God has a special plan for you. There's something God wants to do in your life. There's a grace upon your life that must manifest. Grace does not go to the grave. When you carry grace, the grave cannot swallow you. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Grace preserves you. Grace spares you. Grace protects you. Grace defends you. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? If you are sick, you'll be healed. If they attack you, you will get free from it. Are you getting? Grace will spare the carrier of grace. And when you hear your enemy saying, "In head too strong, no sin of grace they talk." They have tried you. They say, "Bawolo she she no." Na grace they talk. They have tried and tried. It didn't work. So they are now asking you, "How are you doing it?" Say, "Let the grace of God arise for me in my place of work, in my father's house, in my career, in my academics, in my professional life. Let the grace of God speak for me in the name of Jesus." What are we talking about? Spared, decorated, and lifted by grace. The second thing the grace of God does is this: it decorates you with abilities and giftings. Romans chapter 12 verse 6 says, "We have all been gifted according to the grace of God upon our life." He says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So we have gifts according to the grace that is given to us. In fact, if you look in the Bible, in the Greek text, you will realize that the word grace and the word gift are used interchangeably. Somewhere in the Greek text, you will see charis being used for charisma, and charisma being used for grace. Grace being used for gift, and gift being used for grace. Now, what I'm telling you is this: every carrier of grace is also gifted by grace. Grace decorates you with gifts. Grace decorates you with abilities. And you see, that is one area of grace that is difficult to copy. You can't copy grace. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? You can't copy grace, because grace decorates you with unique abilities and with unique gifts. If you look at the guy Joseph, there are two outstanding gifts or abilities in his life that helped him right from Potiphar's house, even when he became prime minister. Two outstanding gifts. Number one is the gift of administration. He administered the house of Potiphar so well that Potiphar surrendered everything to him. The Bible says Potiphar didn't even know what he ate in the house. That's how efficient Joseph was at administration. That administrative gift was so potent, it was so visible, that Potiphar said, "I know because of you, God has blessed me." And even after things fell out between him and Potiphar, and then he landed in the prison, the same grace of administration was manifesting. And then the head of the prison handed over the other inmates to him. He said, "I see that you can control people." So he handed over the prison and the inmates unto Joseph and went to rest. The same grace of administration. And then that same grace of administration was being used to administer Egypt during the 7 years of famine. And then you see the other gift there, the gift of understanding of dreams and visions and interpreting. And you know, that was the gift
that connected him to the throne. You see, when a man carries grace, there are also gifts that goes with grace. God is more intelligent than human beings. Now, you buy some equipment. With the equipment, as they are shipping it to you, they will also put toolbox there. They will put extra battery. They will put extra this, extra that, in case it has problem. Human beings have enough sense to make sure that this thing will need this later. It will need that later. It will need that later. So they put additional thing there. When God created you, he put what you will need to eat to survive in life. Listen to me. God did not create you, and it is when you came out of university that he now begins to say, okay, what work will this sister do? The day you were born, from the day you were born, what you will use to eat has been put in your hand. It's there. In form of gifts, abilities, and certain capacities that make you outstanding, that is not common to every other person. That's why I say grace cannot be copied. You can't copy grace. When you see a person of grace, you may learn from them, but you cannot copy it. Because if you don't have the requisite gifts, you don't have the requisite abilities, you can't copy it. I see many people speaking like Pastor W.F. Kumuyi. There can be only one Kumuyi in this life. Some talk like Pastor He Adeboye. There can only be one Adeboye in this life. God packaged him that way, such that nobody can be exactly like him. That's what grace is all about. Grace limits you to your own unique abilities, your own unique giftings and styles that cannot be copied. Now, this gift made Joseph outstanding in Egypt, made him outstanding among his brethren. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So, when you carry grace, you're also decorated with ability. We are gifts and abilities. So there is none of you that is seated here that does not have one ability or gift. Once you are a Christian, you are born again, and the Spirit of grace comes into your life, there are certain abilities there, there are certain giftings there that will help you to be outstanding in life. Grace does not only spare, grace decorates. Praise the Lord. And then the third thing about grace. Grace lifts. Grace does what? It lifts you up. Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, walking and slaving himself away. And then one day God decided that it was enough. He needed to move to the next level in his journey to the throne. And then something came over Mrs. Potiphar and decided to begin to misbehave. And one thing led to the other. She told a lie against him. And may, having hatched a conspiracy and relayed the story to the husband, every husband that hears that will not, when a husband hears, "You won't rape my wife." It does not matter how much he likes you. Something will go wrong in that house. Of course, Joseph landed in prison. But it was God that pushed him out of that place. Amen. That thing was orchestrated from heaven. You see, sometimes some things that you say are the devil, it's not the devil, it's God. Amen. If Joseph stayed in that house and Potiphar continued to like him, he would never get to the throne. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? What happened had to happen for him to get out of that place. And when they threw him in the prison, it looks like a punishment. Are you getting it? But that prison became where he was connected to the palace. Some things that have gone wrong against you, everything is not totally devil. Some of them, they are God walking behind the scene so that you can arrive at your destiny. I'm praying for somebody here. Everything you have gone through, both negative and positive, will eventually work together for your good. Whatever you have lost is going to work out for your good. The shame you have experienced is going to work out for your good. Those embarrassments are going to work out for your good. Those who lie, they told a lie against you, it will work out for your good. In the name of Jesus, the slowdown, the delay you experience is going to work out for your good.
And then, one day, Joseph met two guys in the prison. One was the baker, one was the porter. And they were looking sad. And they went to them and said, "What's wrong with you guys?" And they said, "Look, we've had a dream and we don't understand the dream." He said, "Solution.
jam problem. Me, I'm a dream interpreter. I have the gift, I have the ability, and you have a dream. Okay, let's see what the Lord will do. And then he interpreted the dream for the two of them, and it came out exactly as he interpreted. And then he told them, he said, look, when it is well with you, remember me. Now I want to say something to you. You have done good to people that have not remembered you. Don't worry about it. God will not give his glory to man. What God will do, no man will take the glory. The good you have been doing, keep doing the good. God is the rewarder. Promotion does not come from the west, from the east, or from the south. It comes from what? God. God is the promoter. He set one down and put another one up. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? When your time comes, the Lord will raise you up. God will suddenly remember all the good you have done, and he will package it in one as a gift to you. In the name of Jesus. The baker or the butler forgot. But 2 years later, God created a problem in the palace that only the ability of Joseph could solve. And they tried to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh, and nobody could interpret it. And then the butler remembered, my God, there was a guy that interpreted my dream in the prison. I hope he's still there. I hope he has not died there. You will not die before the day of your glory. I said you will not die before the day of your glory. You will not die before your opportunity comes. You will not die before your breakthrough comes. In the name of Jesus. You know, we hear about stories of suicide there, suicide there, suicide there. For your information, the administration of Muhammadu Buhari is the most depressive administration. It's the administration with the highest record of depression and what? And suicide. But for a Christian, you don't need to commit suicide. You don't need to kill yourself. You don't need to be depressed. You don't need to despair. Your God is working on a calendar. When your time comes, it will work things out for your favor. All the prayers and fasting of the year of the past, it will fold them up together and give you a miracle. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe Joseph prayed in the house of Potiphar. We don't know. It is not recorded in the Bible. Maybe he prayed in the prison, prayed with a lot of tears. Oh Lord, bring me out of here. Bring me out of here. It did not record. But what he told the butler, when it is well with you, remember me, shows that he was concerned about the situation there. But when his time came, the Bible said they sent for him. They are going to send for you. There is somebody here, they are going to send for you. Listen, there is a difference between I am going for an interview. They said we are 500. They are going to shortlist. There's a difference between that and that they sent for you. You are the only one who can do it. And they say, come, we have a job only you can handle. It's not that we are doing interview for 500 people and they are now shortlisting you. They sent for Joseph. No other person will interpret that dream. They sent for him, and when he came, the Bible said they changed his garment as he came out of the prison. Somebody here, God is about to change your garment. When we talk about change of garment, we're talking about a change of status. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Every time a garment is changed, it is a status that has been changed. Every time a status change, garments also change. When you move up in the hierarchy of the army, when you move up and they say, well, we are taking you to a new rank, what do? They change your garment. They decorate you afresh with a new rank. There's somebody here, God is changing your garment. I said, the Lord 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 is changing your garment. In the name of Jesus. He appeared in the prison, and Pharaoh said, I've had a dream. All these magicians, they've not been able to tell me the answer to the dream. And then if you cannot interpret it, I'm going to kill all the magicians and all that. I say, hold your peace. Interpretation belongs to God. And then he now began to tell him, Oga, this is your dream. This is the meaning. By the time Pharaoh, Joseph finished interpreting the dream, Pharaoh's mouth opened like this and saliva was coming out. In we reabeyo. By the time Joseph finished, the Bible says Pharaoh made obeisance and prostrated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know what happened? Normally, when people utilizes your gifts, they reward you for it. Are you getting it? So Pharaoh, Joseph just made a suggestion. He said, well, this is what to do, this is what to do. Now just look for somebody to do. He said, no, you're not going anywhere. Since you are the one that can interpret this, you are the one that have this plan, it is the same you we're going to use for this. Not only that, he took the ring, the signet from his hand for the second command, and gave it to him. Not only that, he brought the chariot, the one that he drove himself, collected it from the incumbent, and gave it to him. Not only that, he looked at him and said, young man, are you married? He said, well, how can I marry in the prison? He said, okay. Now, of course, Potiphar, he said, you have a beautiful daughter there. Bring that girl to me. Joseph, do you like her? He said, I don't mind. He said, go and marry her. Everything in one go. Listen to me. There are some blessings that come once after the other. And there are some blessings that come all together. There's a way God compensates you for your delay. There's a way God compensates you for your waiting. There's a way God brings everything to happen together all at the same time, because it is your season of lifting. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? May the grace of the Lord lift you. 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 May the grace of God promote you. May the grace of God take you to where he wants you to get to. In the name of Jesus. When you carry grace, witchcraft can't stop you. When you carry grace, house of wickedness can't. They may try, but it won't work. They try on Joseph, it did not work. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough that spills over the wall. In other words, no wall could stop his fruitfulness. No barrier could contain him. He said, the archers have hated him and they shot at him terribly. But he said, he's more abode in strength. And his strength was by the hand of the Almighty, the Elohim of Israel. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Your God has a plan for you. He's taking you somewhere and you will arrive there. No power can stop you. No power can resist you. No power can hinder you. Whatever they try will not work. Witchcraft will not work. Juju will not work. Enchantment will not work. Curses will not work. Spells will not work. In the name of Jesus. Rise on your feet. I feel like praying. 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 Listen to me. Maybe you are one of those that say, well, the law has not favored me. In terms of requirement, I do not have. Qualification, I do not have. I don't even know how to follow protocol. The only hope I have is the grace of God. That grace will speak for you. That grace will make the difference. 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 If you want to follow the law says, well, before you became born again, you have aborted 10 pregnancies. Your womb is damaged. You can never have children again. Not with the grace of God. Where the grace of God is, whatever has happened in the past, because you have repented, you have come to Jesus, God will settle you. I said, God will settle you. I said, God will settle you. I said, the Lord himself will settle you. The law can be very oppressive. Life is about laws. It's about obeying laws. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Why it is good to be law abiding? But you can be law abiding from your youth to your old age and not experience what is called success. Now that does not mean you not be law abiding. It only means that you need to add something to your being law abiding, and that is the grace of God. Can I tell you something? If you have to labor for everything you need in life, you will die before your time. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? There are some things that God makes to happen in your life by sheer grace of God. Say, for by strength shall no man prevail. It is good to be strong. The race is not of the sweet, the battle is not of the wise. Nor bread is given to men of strength, nor food to the men of wisdom. He said, but time and chance happen to them all. God is the giver of chance, and God is the timekeeper. Lift your hand to heaven. Say, from tonight, let the grace of God begin to fight my battle. 360 battle, let God begin to fight it. Let the grace of God begin to fight it. Let the oil of God upon my head begin to fight it. Let the grace that is shed at Calvary begin to fight my battle. Let the grace that Christ dispensed on the cross begin to fight my battle. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. I am spared. I am decorated by grace. Grace speared me. Grace decorated me. Grace lifted me. Grace speared me. Grace decorated me. Grace lifted me. Grace speared me. Grace decorated me. Grace lifted me. Grace speared me. Grace decorated me. Grace lifted me. Talk to the Lord. Oketa lagbara gun to mi hele. Oketa lagbara gun to mi hele. Ohun lomo lorugun to fa yo wasile. Oketa lagbara gun to mi hele. Grace lo nje be. Oketa lagbara gun to mi hele. Oketa lagbara gun to mi hele. Ohun lomo lorugun to fa yo wasile. Oketa lagbara gun to mi hele. The grace of God will make the difference in your life. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And he is the Spirit of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Can I tell you something? It's not something I like to share, but it's a story that depicts the grace of God more than any other thing. When I was a little boy, I was very rascally. Very, very rascally. In fact, my mother thought I was going to become a criminal and then, you know, maybe they will kill me before my time. And then, along the line, I got born again. And when I got born again, because as I got born again, I decided to distance myself from the idolatry and the Islamic whatever in my father's house. So I seemed to be somebody who was living a different life from everybody. They didn't know what was happening to me. I was serving Jesus. I was running after Jesus, pursuing him with all my heart. All the terrible things I used to do, I stopped doing them, and then God began to sort my life out gradually. Through me, my mother got born again, and then things began to change in the family. Then on a certain occasion, my mother was praying, and the Holy Ghost said to her, I'm going to open the door of Europe to one of your children. And he said, I'm going to open the door of Europe to one of your sons. Now, when the Lord told her that, in her heart, she concluded that it was my younger brother. Parents have preferences. You can't blame them. We are human. She never imagined that it would be me that God will open the door of Europe to. But as God told her, she kept quiet. And then she was hoping it was my brother. Then in 1999, when I got the first visa to the UK, I went to tell her, I said, Mom, I'm traveling to the United Kingdom. She said, ah, you want me? You want me? You want me? You want me? Only what, Dari Jimmy. Now, that was my mother. She could not think that would be me. She thought it was somebody else. The tragedy of this is since 1999, I've been traveling abroad. I can't count how many times I've been to the UK. I can't count countries. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the tragedy of it is this, that my younger brother died about 12 years ago. mysteriously it just expired. And this is the same me that they thought would not amount to anything. I'm the one taking care of my mother now, taking care of this, taking care of that. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? So each time I give my mother money, she will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Oh. And each time I give that money, me myself, I know this is the grace of God. There are some of you here. Koseni to run kon la koin. Irin la won ro koin. Some of you, they are forgotten your father's house. They don't know what is happening to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But through this conference, the grace of God will settle upon your life. The grace of God will select you. The grace of God will pick you. The grace of God will locate you. The grace of God will change your story. 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 There's a great woman here. A great woman in this place. She's here. There's a great woman here. She's a great woman. You yourself know you are a great woman. That person is here. There's a great woman here. God wants to do great and mighty things with you. Where God is taking you, I don't know how to. There's a great woman here, Pastor. There's a great woman here. The power of God is in this place. There's a great woman here. There's a woman that the hand of the Lord is upon her. That's the power of God. That's it. That's a great woman here. There's a great woman here. That's a star that will shine, that will shine, that will shine, that will shine. That's the power of God there. There's a great woman here. There are stars here that will shine. The hand of grace is coming upon some people here now. God's hand of grace is coming upon them now. That shall be the story of somebody here. Let the Lord finish with her. Makito parande ke soli gabadia. Let the Lord finish with her. Makata yale yasa. Me doge de geberu kotoli gabadiasa. Ayagode ke peru kotoli gabudi gabayash. E mega di gaburi katoli gabadi gababosha. Iwole nita shelore makande koporiasa. Abadaya di keburi katos ketoli gababosha. Me yede gede geberi ketoli yadi gaburi kasaliaba. Now listen. I'm going to give you a prayer. You pray for 5 minutes. Within the latitude of God's grace, within the spectrum of God's manifold grace, I want you to make your request. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? I want you to make your requests. Within the expanse of God's grace, within the riches of God's grace, I want you to make your request in 5 minutes. Talk to God. The power of God is in this place. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes, of salvation purchased of blood. Another spirit washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praise in my Savior all that day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Your eyes, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a glory divine is of salvation. Oh, Jesus of blood, on our spirit washed in his Lord. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. This is my Savior. Oh,
yo. This is the final round of the prayer. I'd like you to talk to God. Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to give your heart to Jesus, I'd like you to step forward here. Come forward here if you are there. You would like to give your hearts to Jesus. While the prayer is going on, just come forward here. You'd like to give your heart to Jesus. You are yet to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Please come. I'd like to pray with you.
In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody stand on your feet. All the choir, everybody stand on your feet. We are not too many in the church. I have this unction by the leading of the Spirit. Anywhere you are, come and make a contact with the altar and lay your request. After that, I'll just round up. make contact with the altar one way or the other. People can come over here, give you their permission. I want everywhere you are, make contact with this altar. Anywhere you are, if you want to climb up, you are free to climb up. You are not limited to that place. Make contact with the altar one way or the other. Please make sure you are not excluded. Please, we can remove the chairs at the back there. I want to assure you, by the leading of the Spirit, there's going to be some outstanding testimony. From today's meeting, from tonight's meeting, let nobody be left out.
Baba kantrala baka saba kantrala ba baba kan papa papa kaski baba kaski baka shi baka kantrala ba baba kaski baka ski ba shi ba diga baka shi.
We'll take this song three times and I'll just pray. Papa is not O gentle Savior.
Pass me not O gentle Savior. My humble cry, why, Lord, Lord, dost thou calling? Do not pass me by. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we have come under the banner of grace this night. Heavenly Father, we have come under the canopy of manifold grace this night. Heavenly Father, by making contact with this altar, we are making contact with the throne of grace this night. Lord, I cry from my heart. The way you remember Hannah, who was longing and waiting and had a long-standing expectation that was not made year in, year out. But that particular day in Shiloh, you remember her. Lord, remember these people. Amen. Regarding whatever might have been the request that they have laid on this altar today, Lord, visit them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Visit them in the mighty name of Jesus. Visit them in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, my God, whatever might have been the impediments, whatever might have been the thing that have been causing the delay, Lord, let your grace wipe it out. Let your grace wipe it out. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, is there a judgment of sin? Let grace spare them this night. Let grace override judgment this night. In the mighty name of Jesus. Is there a conspiracy of men or spirits? Is there a conspiracy of biological or natural situation that has prevented the testimony or the answer to the expectation of these people? Lord, this night, let grace speak for them. Let grace speak for them. Let grace be for them. Let grace be for them. In the mighty name of Jesus. My Lord and my God, let your people come back testifying to what you have done tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Therefore, we redeem of the Lord shall return, and call we singing unto Zion,
and everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and call we singing unto Zion.
Return and go with me unto Zion and ever. testimony. Amen. That grace will lift your expectation. Amen. That grace of God will lift your answer. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That grace will take away your delay. Amen. That grace will take away your shame. Amen. That grace will take away your sorrow. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Now listen, before we put hands together, there is a particular sister here. I don't know whether you are the one that has noticed this or the diagnosis that there's a lump in your breast. Try to see me later on. I want to pray for you, but God has answered, God has healed you. Let's put hands together for the Lord.